People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
Southwest Open School is a place for experiential learning, where students actively participate in their own education. This winter, the radio class chose to focus on challenges confronting Montezuma County.
The topics included teenage substance abuse, homelessness, generational poverty, and a higher-than-average theft rate. Tasked with recording transformative radio pieces, the students set out into the community to find real voices. The stories they recorded here are real, gritty, and ultimately their own.
One of the struggles in Cortez is generational poverty. Right now in Montezuma County, 26.5%, which is more than 1 in 4 children, are living in poverty. That is the second highest amount in all of Colorado. Is generational poverty a choice? Not long ago, Bill Gates said, "If you're born poor, it's not your mistake, but if you die poor, it's your mistake." Is it that simple? Is it really that easy to escape the cycle of poverty? Does this version of the American dream still exist? Can anyone pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just bridge out of poverty? We want to know, do people living in Montezuma County who are in generational poverty have a realistic chance of walking across that bridge from poverty to the next rung on the socioeconomic ladder? According to Yale University, generational poverty is defined as two or more generations living at or below the poverty level. Today on our show, we will talk with Rebecca Larson, a regional prevention consultant, Dennis Story, our local director of social services, Lynn Soakup with Opinion Project, and a local family trying to change the cycle of their impoverished circumstances.
We talked with four experts and Josh and Marla Nelson, part of a family who have risen above poverty. We asked if $9.50 an hour was enough to raise a family.
I mean, it is, but it's like really hard. You have to make a lot of sacrifices on your own behalf so your kid can have everything that it needs. So, you know, I mean, it makes bills and stuff, but not something that you can actually live on, so.
We asked them what made them different from those who can't get out of poverty.
I've known some people that just hate everything, you know what I mean? Have doubts about themselves and about things around them, so they're just not even trying to better themselves, you know what I mean?
Or people that see that just because they have money, that cigarettes and soda and candy is a whole lot more important than getting a house or...
Yeah, like my brother Joey, for instance. So, Joey, he's really, you know what I mean? He's living off his wife, man. He's not even trying to get his own job and stuff like that.
We asked him what made him different from his brother.
We put our kids first. Our kids always come first. And them, it's more, when they went to California, they didn't want to get a house because they couldn't take their dogs. They left here because they wouldn't get a house because they couldn't take their dogs. Salt Lake, same thing. And then finally someone shot their dogs and they decided to get an apartment. And they've been in a homeless shelter since July of last year. And they just barely got an apartment last week.
We asked if there was any wake-up calls that helped them get out of poverty.
Yeah, my kids are running low on clean clothes and stuff like that really kind of just ate me up, so.
That and the fact of fighting at Duff Creek School all the time.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it no more.
Then we talked to Rebecca Larson, a regional prevention consultant. We asked her why people are in poverty.
I believe that there are lots of different reasons why people are living in generational poverty. I don't think it's an either or. I don't think it's just about the individual making decisions for themselves. Certainly that's a piece of it. And I think that it's very difficult to work with some of the policies around, you know, you start to make more money and then you lose certain benefits. And so if somebody were to make more money, but they would lose their child care benefits, and if they have a kid at home, then they can't go to work to make the money. I mean, how do you make that decision? The community as a whole is responsible for generational poverty.
Then we talked to Dennis Story, a fundamental part of our local social services. We asked if his point of view had changed because of his career.
As I've been involved in this job since 1976, that's over 30 years, I have gone from a person that feels like programs are going to help folks walk out of poverty. And in fact, what I have learned over the years is it's a matter of individual responsibility to rise above circumstances as best as people can.
We asked him if it was a choice to get out of poverty.
I believe there's always a choice. As long as we have freedom to make choices in this country, there is that choice.
Afterwards, we talked to Lynn Suka with the Pinion Project.
There's a lot more to poverty than just go get a job. There's a lot, it is way more complex than that, because if you don't have a car, how can you keep a job when you live out on Rhode Island? Yeah, or in Pleasant View, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to get back on your feet and one thing happens, you know, it just sets you back. It's just piles upon piles, and one problem causes another problem. Mm-hmm. It's really important for us to be able to support people in those circumstances, you know?
Then we asked if they believed in the American dream. Can men and women rise above what they started with and become whatever they want? We interviewed Josh and Marla Nelson, a family trying to bridge the gap out of poverty.
Well, no, because, you know, I have an intelligence, of a higher person that has been through education, because I went to school till I was in 11th grade, so, you know, I pretty much understand the basics. But, I mean, like, without that paper, yeah, you know, they're not going to hire you unless you have, like, even at McDonald's, dude, if you don't have a college degree, you can't even get a management job, man. And that's, like, what, maybe $12 an hour. You know what I mean? The only place that you can work when you don't have that paper is like construction or something like that, you know? And then me, being the way I am now, I can't do that physical work anymore. Can't stand on my leg for 8 hours a day.
Again, Dennis Story, Director of Social Services. We asked him what the American dream was to him.
My dream is, as long as we are a free country, people have got an opportunity to become as successful as they choose to be and as they choose to work for.
Here's Rebecca Larson.
I imagine that there are some people who believe that they are doing the best that they can. And in a lot of cases, people who are living in generational poverty have the choice between a bad and a worse decision. And that there doesn't seem to be the best or a good decision. And so sometimes that can be really discouraging. I don't believe it's just about the individual, though. There's lots of reasons why people who are living in generational poverty, who maybe want to get out of that, have barriers to doing that.
We asked Josh and Marla if they had any advice for us.
As long as you got the will and the compassion and integrity of doing things that you need to do to accomplish things, then you will always have success. Well, this is, all I can tell you, bud, is if you make the, if you have the compassion and the interest in the thing that you're trying to accomplish, and you constantly continue doing the great instead of the bad of what your situation is, you know what I mean? And you constantly look forward instead of backwards, you won't have no step backs. You just have complete success. And hey, man, even the information that I got from that book, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, look, is this the man I want to be for the rest of my life? And sometimes it's no, and sometimes, yeah, hey, I'm doing great. Sometimes it's just good to talk to yourself, get answers that way.
We ask what people can do to get out of poverty. Dennis Story.
There are opportunities for folks to rise above poverty, primarily through education.
Lynn Suka.
We just need to support people who are ready to make the shift and stop judging people. Just try to work with people who want it. We're doing, so I'm starting another Getting Ahead class probably in March. And that is a class from the Bridges Out of Poverty Initiative that is for people in generational poverty who are in the situation We pay them to come to class. We feed them dinner and give them childcare. And and then we spend 2 hours where they have nothing else to do, you know, but to sit there and try to create a future story. We go through the causes of poverty. We talk about the culture of poverty versus the culture of middle class or old money. And then, so there's a lot of information there. And then we work on goal setting and building resources.
Yeah. And
your class is just like basically a support group.
Rebecca Larson.
Well, there's Medicaid is helpful. There are lots of government agencies that help. So, you know, the health department generally serves a lower income population. Social services helps with low income folks. There's job services. Schools, to some extent, serve people. I mean, they serve young people, right? Although not all schools are serving, quote unquote, serving people from generational poverty to what they need or how they learn best. Churches are a really great resource. Nonprofits are in our community. So, you know, there's a homeless shelter, there's a day labor center, there are places that serve meals locally. There's Good Sam's that hands out food and clothing. The Pinion Project has the MEEK program that helps with housing, utilities, food, clothing. So we have a lot of services locally. I think that reflects the need in our community. Oh, and I guess we also have mental health services, which people can access, which is incredibly important.
Then, Lynn Sukup talked about Getting Ahead, a program to help impoverished families.
Generational poverty is at least 3 generations, like Josh was saying. And so you grow up, and it's a different culture. You grow up with different hidden rules, we call them. And you're in the tyranny of the moment. You're looking at survival all the time. Big value for people in generational poverty is their relationships. So whether they're good or bad, those relationships are really important. So in middle class, the values are more about hard work and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and being independent as opposed to interdependent, like in generational poverty. Getting Ahead, we study all those hidden rules. And I always ask, do you find this to be true? And for the most part, everybody really agrees with the differences.
Is generational poverty a choice? We found the answer to be not a simple yes or no. But if we work hard and plan well, we can make a better future for ourselves and generations to come. A special thanks goes out to Dennis Story, Lynn Sukup, Rebecca Larson, and the Nelson family for coming in and talking with us. I dedicate this broadcast in loving memory of my grandfather, Bill Nittler, whose love for radio inspires me today and every day.
Always look on the bright side of life.
This piece was produced by the radio class of the Southwest Open School. The creators of this piece were
Kelton Lynn Stevens,
Matavian Jones,
Chris Gonzalez.
We'd like to thank Jeff Pope and Tom Yoder of KSJD, the local participants interviewed for these stories, and the support of the KSJD listenership. To hear these stories again, go to ksjd.org, click on Programs, or go to our site, southwestopenschool.org.
These stories profiled the struggles of our county. We know that through giving voice to our community, we can build a better future, making it easier for us all to...